Our scripture reading is Psalm 145. The reason we're reading this is that one of the things we're going to observe in our sermon from the Heidelberg Catechism this evening is that this petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is in many ways summarizing something that the Psalms had already said many times. Psalm 145 having an example of that. Psalm 145. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to look upon us in grace as we look away from ourselves into the face of your Son, whom you have appointed our mediator and Savior. As all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in your Son, guide us by your Holy Spirit into the true understanding of the doctrines of Christ. May our meditation upon his truth produce in us the fruit of righteousness to the glory and exaltation of his name, the instruction and building up of this congregation, and the salvation of the lost through our witness. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson from the Heidelberg Catechism is Lord's Day 50. I would invite you to turn with me in the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 895. On page 895, Lord's Day 50 of the Catechism, we'll read this question and answer responsively. What does the fourth petition mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin our study of Lord's Day 50 of the Catechism this evening, I want to highlight a phrase in the Catechism that is not the main point necessarily for this Lord's Day, but that tells us something about how we ought to be understanding the Lord's Prayer in general. Notice those words. When it's summarizing what this petition means, give us this day our daily bread, it begins by saying, provide for all our physical needs, and then show that we may recognize. This is something we've been noticing throughout the Lord's Prayer. Part of what we are praying for in it is that we would be changed. That part of the purpose of the Lord's Prayer is that as we pray the words, as we orient ourselves by them, we are affected by it, that God is at work in us. It's important to remember this as one of the answers, we think of the Psalms, to why we pray in general. That we pray not to control or manipulate God. There's many reasons to explain why we do pray. One of them is that we would be changed by it. That's what we expect this evening with this petition, give us this day our daily bread. The question we begin with that may sound obvious, but is actually very important for understanding this part of the Lord's Prayer rightly is, number one, what is bread? The prayer seems like one of the most obvious ones. Give us this day our daily bread, but we need to actually pause and linger over this question. What is bread? Number one on your outline. When we pray for our daily bread, we are praying for both spiritual and physical provision from God. That is, we are praying for God to provide anything we need, physical or spiritual. But notice that our catechism has a particular emphasis. It says specifically, provide for all our physical needs. But all of this is already telling us something deeper about what bread means. Does this prayer apply, for example, in a time when you are not planning to eat bread that day? We might think of bread as simply one kind of food. And so we have to remember what we see here in letter A on the outline. The catechism interprets bread as representing all our physical needs, and so this is primarily a prayer for God to provide all the things of this life. There are actually multiple steps in arriving at that. In the scriptures, the word bread is often used to speak of food in general, but in this case, the catechism is saying that the reference to food is actually speaking of all of our physical needs in general. Now, I want you to sort of have a point here to keep in your mind that our catechism only talks about physical needs. Now, that is interesting. I hope to make it interesting for us because of letter B. It has been common in church history to interpret this petition as referring to more than physical bread. Our catechism, in a way that is noteworthy, says that it means provide for all of our physical needs. And that is noteworthy because if you go back to the early church fathers, for example, and their explanations of what this petition means, they will connect it with things like the Lord's Supper involving bread and say that therefore what we're really praying for is for God to provide for us spiritually, for God to provide for what we need spiritually. And they would often, in fact, draw a contrast that, yeah, bread is important, but that's not what really is in view here. What's really in view is what we need from God spiritually. And of course, there are many scripture passages that could be pointed to defend that sort of emphasis. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is a verse that Jesus quoted when he was being tempted by the devil, saying that the provision of food is actually saying that we need something more, that we don't live by bread alone, but bread is about the word of God and how we live by, depend upon the word of God. Moses even says that God let Israel hunger so they could learn that lesson, that it was then his word of promise that provided them with manna. Well, that theme of Israel being provided with manna is then taken up by Jesus in the New Testament. In John chapter 6, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is in the context of the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus says he is the one who fulfills the manna that God provided Israel. And in this, he says that he is the bread of life. And so as my pastor in college was fond of saying, in the Bible, bread is never just bread. Whenever there is a key event, something happening in Scripture where bread, really where a meal is involved, you always should be seeking some sort of deeper spiritual significance to what is going on. Bread The Old Testament says clearly, speaks of the word of God, God's promise, and then Jesus says it was ultimately about him. In the Bible, bread is never just bread. We can also say light is never just light, water is never just water. All of these things are filled with spiritual meaning and significance. This is a scriptural theme. It is a theme that belongs to the history of the church. To say, therefore, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are speaking of all of those spiritual realities. Our dependence on the word of God, our need for our Lord Jesus Christ, and that one of the ways it's answered is in the Lord's Supper, as Christ himself is provided for us. The tension I hope you're feeling, if hoping you're not as tired as you look right now, the tension that I hope you're feeling is we just made this case from Scripture and from church history that we would rightly say, give us this day our daily bread, is about spiritual things, and yet our catechism says, provide for all our physical needs. Well, here's what happened, to really oversimplify. In the history of the church, at various points in church history, all of those wise biblical emphases on bread meaning more than bread often turned into a kind of neglect of the goodness of ordinary bread, turned into saying something like, in the Lord's Prayer, we're not praying about the bread that's on your table, we're praying about all of these lofty spiritual things. And so, letter C on your outline, the Reformed tradition has wisely recovered the biblical theme of the goodness of creation and ordinary providence. The Catechism is orienting us to as something that is deeply scriptural, as I hope to show you in a moment, that we have every reason to believe that when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, he really did mean the daily provision of our physical needs. All manner of biblical themes, from Genesis 1 and the goodness of creation, to all the promises of God to provide, to the Psalms celebrating God's earthly provision, to even the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, that your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. He affirms them. All of that gives us good reason to believe that when he says bread, he really does mean bread. And our catechism is part of that Reformed recovery of an emphasis on that scriptural theme. God cares about the food on your table each day, and when Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, he is affirming that. And he's saying that we ought to pray with a sense of dependence on God to provide us with those things. So, as my pastor in college was fond of saying, in the Bible, bread is never just bread. That the word bread is pointing to something else. I want to agree with that, but add to that. What we need to say is that bread is never just bread. That just bread is about something more. And so when the Bible speaks of bread, it really does just mean the thing that is on our table, but that thing that is on our table of daily provision of food, it itself is a reflection of God's provision for us. It is God providing us, and that it always has that meaning. And so it's not that you have the word in the Bible, bread, and you say, well, it doesn't really mean physical stuff, it means the spiritual thing. No, the word means the physical thing. And the physical thing has this significance. It is a daily reminder of God providing for us. Indeed, it is an experience of God providing for us. When our catechism then says that the Lord's Prayer means provide for all of our physical needs, it is not instead of that spiritual meaning. It is saying that when God provides for your physical needs, you really are experiencing God providing. You are experiencing fellowship with him, his care and concern for you. Now, why do we have trouble with this? Why do we so often in the history of the church want to speak of some spiritual reality as being the more important thing, the real thing, and neglect the physical? Well, we need to do more of what I have for you here in number two on your outline, delighting in the ordinary. We ought to wisely and joyfully appreciate the multitude of ways in which God is at work providing us with the things of this life in the way of ordinary providence. First, we ought to wisely and joyfully appreciate. Some of you are miserably filling in that word because I'm forcing you to split an infinitive. I don't agree with that rule. Splitting infinitives is just fine, but it's easy to not split them if you want to avoid it. Here you have to. Anyway, setting that aside, what is the point? The Lord's Prayer, saying, "Give us this day our daily bread," is teaching us how to orient to the things of this life that God provides us with. It's teaching us how to experience it, how to think about it, and how to think about it in the most ordinary of providence. Your daily bread. So not some miraculous provision, not some time where you poured yourself out in prayer for a specific thing to happen and it happened in a way where you felt clearly as though it was in response to your prayer, but rather the most ordinary reality of the things of this life being provided are to be experienced wisely and joyfully as being God providing. God, the Creator, being at work. Letter A. It is not as though God provides some things and the creation supplies the rest. Rather, God is involved in upholding and sustaining all things at every moment. I cite there Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17, the words, "In Him all things hold together." Now, I want us to stay on this point for a little while. I am not persuaded that we think, feel, that we enjoy this as much as we should. We are constantly tempted to partition out life, that there are just the ordinary things that are constantly happening, and then there are special things in which God is involved. And what this prayer is doing is resisting that. It's saying, no, all of the most ordinary things are something God is involved in. We constantly want to put a spiritual overlay on the creation. Like the creation is just there, and then on top of it, certain times, there is this spiritual element that we can talk about. But the Lord's Prayer is saying, no, in every moment of the existence of creation, God is at work. Why do we have trouble with this? Many of us, for example, have, when it comes to, in the context of debate, apologetics, defending the existence of God, are tempted by a kind of argument that's called the God of the gaps. To point to things that are gaps in science that science cannot explain and say, there, God fills that gap. But you see, that starts to act as though there's some things science explains, and then God explains the other things. But what we rather ought to say is science may go on explaining things who knows how long. What science cannot explain is the existence of science itself. And what God is about is that every moment in everything science is doing, God is the one being glorified in that. God is the one whose glory is proclaimed, whose wisdom is being made known, who is upholding the existence of that scientific enterprise at every single point. That all of it is full of proclaiming God's glory. It's not that there's an ordinary created part and then there's a God part. All of it is something God is involved in. Another way of trying to get at this. And I know that some of us have trouble with this, and I'm guessing that more of us do than I even know. Last Sunday, when I was emphasizing regarding God's will, that God wants us not to wait for Him to whisper a special answer in our ear or show us a special path, but He wants us to use wisdom in the ordinary things of His creation. He doesn't want us to say, "I'm doing this because God told me to." He wants us to say, "This is within the boundaries of God's word. He's given me wisdom, and I have chosen to do this." Now, I know that some of you are worried that what we are doing then is we are downplaying the spiritual. That if we do that, we're going to somehow lose the spiritual. That it's all just going to be things in this creation. But you see, what we ought to feel is that we're actually doing the opposite. We are saying all of it is spiritual. That when you're making a decision, the desires, the interests you have are desires, interests God has given you. When you make a decision seeking to be wise, it is wisdom that God has given to you. When you make a decision seeking counsel from others, it is God who has placed you in those circumstances. It is God who is by His Spirit is giving wisdom to those others and wisdom to you. The point is not to push out the spiritual part, it is to say that actually all of it has spiritual significance. Perhaps some of you have heard the phrase, someone has something just surprising and wonderful and seemingly with spiritual payoff happen in their life in a way they could not have predicted, could not have controlled, could not have made happen. And they will say, surely it must have been a God thing. Now, what is that trying to acknowledge in a good way? That God is involved in our lives. That's good. We ought to speak that way of God being involved. But do you see the problem with that way of speaking? It is suggesting, what about the other things? What about all the ordinary stuff? All of it also was in God's providence. Every moment of it is. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he is teaching us to affirm that reality, that all of creation is, as it were, charged with proclaiming God's glory. All of creation, as God provides, is you receiving from your Creator. And every moment in your life is God at work in his hand of providence. And so it's not about being less spiritual. It's actually saying some of those ways of speaking that signal spirituality are actually less spiritual themselves, because they are denying, in effect, the functioning of God in all of the ordinary things. God is involved in every minute. All of creation is charged with that providence of God, that glory of God being proclaimed. Letter B. This petition of the Lord's Prayer is summarizing what has always been expressed in the Psalms. This is why we read from Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is saying that in every moment of a creature having food, God is at work. God is sustaining it. God is upholding this. And this starts to become all the more glorious when you think, I would encourage scientifically, about what is involved in what those two verses said. All the ways in which God satisfies the desire of every living thing. All the ways in which God gives them their food in due season. In fact, places like Psalm 147 will celebrate this explicitly, singing about the process by which rain or snow falls in the mountains, and then there's snowpack, and then that melts and goes down in the valley, and then plants grow, and then through cultivation and all of these things we have food. All of that is God's handiwork. All of that is charged with God's providence and God's presence. Psalm 104. What are we trying to do here? Remember, point two, we ought to wisely and joyfully appreciate this. And I want both these things to be happening wisely. We need to think more deeply about this to make sure we are thinking about the world in this way. It's constantly being a means by which God provides, but also joyfully. When the Psalms sing of this sort of thing, it is an overflowing of something that just is clearly joyful and glad in itself. It is not a spiritual gladness being added from the outside. It's rather saying this thing that is good just is a glad and joyful thing. And it is fun, enjoyable to go deeper in acknowledging and celebrating, appreciating God's involvement in all of it. Psalm 104, verses 10 through 15. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. Now, that is not God of the gaps. That's not ancient people didn't know things, and so they invent these sort of explanations. This is them saying, no matter how much we learn, how much we know, it's simply exalting all the more the wonders that God is involved in, that he has created, that he has called into existence. Verse 14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. I want to highlight here verse 14. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. The psalm is explicitly saying that part of what you pray for when you say, give us this day our daily bread, is you're praying for that whole process, including the involvement of our neighbor, the involvement of each other in the process by which we are provided. Letter C. Every moment of life ought to be charged with the enjoyment of this. What do I mean by charged? I don't entirely know. The image is this. It's not like there's this physical created thing, and then there's a spiritual part on top of it, but that all of it is charged with the spiritual meaning. It is full of the spiritual meaning. The spiritual meaning pervades all of it. The process by which bread arrives on your table. What is the process? Now, you go back to the grain growing, the harvesting. Okay, but the machinery that harvested it, how that machinery was built, the skills involved in knowing how to take care of the soil, where did all those skills come from, all the different people and their abilities involved in it. And then you have the artistry, the artisanship of how to make bread, traditions passed on, all of these beautiful things. What's letter C? Ought to be charged with the enjoyment of this. Are things about which you ought to enjoy praying, give us this day our daily bread. That all of that is this wondrous thing that God's providence has made possible. That God's providence holds in existence. And that we are praying for all of that to be maintained for our benefit. There's an article I once read. Man, I should have looked this up. Sorry, but I believe it's called iPencil. Now, as a hobby, I enjoy reading about economic philosophy. I'm going to try to avoid sharing my particular economic opinions with you. But the point to this article is something like this. No single human being knows how to make a pencil. You say, oh, come on. Like, all right, well, pencil involves wood. Somehow that wood comes from a tree that's been cut down, and all the ways it's been milled to get to the point where it can be used for a pencil, there's paint on it. Where does this paint come from? All sorts of chemicals that are mined and found and created in various ways, put together in certain ways to be made into a certain color. The lead, the graphite, all the things that go into it. Then there's the metal piece. Now we're talking mining. You're talking mining all the equipment. The point is there's no human being who knows all of those things. There is something wondrous in how our current moment is ordered, where all of these skills, all of these talents can come together for the physical provision of something in ordinary life. All of that we are glorifying God for, all of that we are enjoying being charged with the providence of God, and all of that is what we have in mind when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. This wondrous creation beyond what any one of us could even begin to wrap our minds around as a means by which we are provided things like bread and wine in Psalm 104. What is the point where we are? That in every moment of life, when any of that strikes you, I think some of us aren't struck by it enough, but when any of those wonders strike you, to God be the glory. At any point in life where you realize the fragility of some of it. That's often where I go. And the system is so amazing. It feels so fragile. To God be the glory. Pray for your daily bread. The wonders of global trade and economic integration. Again, I'm trying to avoid my personal opinions about those things. But whatever elements in that you view as good and providing, to God be the glory. And you see, that's what's happening when we say, give us this day our daily bread. We're saying, all of it is something God is involved in. All of it is something he is sustaining, upholding. It is ultimately praising him as the one who provides it. That is, as our catechism says, provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. Do you hear that language of the catechism being what we've been talking about this whole time? That prayer orients us to say, God is the only source of everything good, which has great spiritual significance. Number three, formed by the Lord's Prayer. This prayer forms in us an orientation toward God as our creator in all of life, the only source of everything good. This is a prayer versus contrary to Gnosticism. That feels really random to you. Here's the point. This is forming us in a way that resists, opposes all sorts of errors, all sorts of ways we might think wrongly about these things. Gnosticism is the error we spoke of earlier. Only the spiritual stuff matters, not the created stuff. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, God is affirming the goodness of the created thing. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. This is also, letter B, a prayer versus idolatry. On the one hand, there's the danger of rejecting created things, but there's also the danger of the worship of created things. As Paul said in Ephesians 4, giving ourselves over to such sensual things, the sensory world. Contrary to idolatry, our Lord Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And one of the ways we're able to do that is to say, give us this day our daily bread. The confession from our catechism, neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. That they have no power within themselves, no ability to sustain themselves, but they're only a blessing with God being involved. And that opposes idolatry. Letter C, this prayer versus pride. As you grow through this prayer in that being more and more alert to God's involvement in all of providence, you are also at the very same time admitting you are not in control of all of it. You cannot do all of it, that all of it is beyond you. Each prayer, give us this day our daily bread, says, no matter what your bank account is like, no matter what your job security is like, each day you depend upon God to have food for that day. And that is humbling, contrary to pride. It's also a prayer versus worry. Matthew 6, verse 32, when Jesus is saying, do not chase after these things, because that's what the Gentiles do. You ought to be seeking first the kingdom of heaven. He then says, your heavenly Father knows you need them all. He affirms your need for those things. And so every time we are invited to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are confessing in response to our Lord Jesus Christ saying to us that God intends to provide for us in that way. Every other possible master is harsh, capricious, and enslaving. It is freeing to pray this, to acknowledge that we're not at the mercy of random chance. The creation is not just this machine grinding along mindlessly, but it is rather in every moment of our being provided with food, God providing us our daily bread. Letter E, it is good news that God calls us to trust Him alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your provision for us in the daily things of this life. As we make that prayer to you so often in the Lord's Prayer and the Psalms that we sing, we pray that you would form in us the wisdom and the wisdom about and the enjoyment of your involvement of all of the ordinary things of this creation. Do this that we might trust you alone instead of all creatures. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.